Praise God. I had a word for the furnace on Wednesday night, and as I was preparing for this morning, I really felt in my spirit that I should share some of what I shared on Wednesday night at the furnace. I want you to turn to Psalm 86. Praise God. Did you enjoy the Healed for Life refresher, those of you that were there last night? Isn't she amazing? It's absolutely wonderful what God is doing through my wife and her team. And, you know, I would love to sit in on those things, but like I get ADHD. I have to be doing something. In fact, me and Anthony's the same, isn't he? He can't sit down for longer than half an hour. He's gone already. He's in the 9 o'clock service. He's gone somewhere already. And it's one of those unusual things where I just have to be doing something, you know. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, just doing something for God. Sitting down isn't my forte, and I just give God praise for the heart that he's given me and the Healed for Life team as well. Even my son Benji was on the sound desk last night with all his, you know, prep for A-levels and stuff like that. He still took time out to serve in the house that way. And I think, you know, I think that's one of the great blessings that God has given us as a house is the number of people who actually serve in it. I really want to encourage you, you know, to find your niche, find your lane in the house and sow your seed there. God will do something special in your life as a result. As I was coming in, I was praying. The Lord showed me that he said that there are people whose lives and destinies are linked to this altar. And that the closer they are and the more dedicated they are to serving this altar, the greater the blessing on their life. He said, and the further away they get from it, the more obstructions and hassles they get in life. And if you're one of those people, you know who you are. It's just one of those things, you know. And it's nothing spooky or anything like that. It's just the way God has ordained our destinies. You know, he said to Elijah the prophet, he said, go to a certain brook. I will sustain you there. So when you're in the right brook, the birds will feed you. When you're not at the right brook, then you can starve. May you be in the right brook in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Psalm number 86. I want to speak to you today about unity of purpose, singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose. We must become single-minded and single-hearted. Look at what it says in verse number 11 of Psalm 86. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite, look at this word. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart. And that to me says that we can have a divided heart and not even know it. And when I was praying about this whole thing, I saw that how divided priorities can cause a divided heart. I've seen it in relationships where God puts a certain order in life. He puts your relationship with him first. He puts your relationship with your spouse second. Your relationship with your children third. Your ministry fourth. Your work fifth. And your recreation sixth. And the people who line those things up, then things work out well. But if you put one before the other, you can really come a cropper. I heard one great preacher of the gospel say something. And when he said it, I just put my head in my hands. I thought, oh my gosh, because if I was Satan, I would know exactly how to cause a divorce in his life. Exactly. And you know, when a mighty man or a mighty woman of God gets divorced, it can be very traumatic. You know, it can cause all sorts of horrible hassles and breakdowns. And this guy said this. He said, I know and God knows that if it came to a toss-up between my ministry and my marriage, my ministry would come first. And I thought, Lord Jesus, you've lost your ministry and your marriage because of the way that the priority has gone awry. You cannot put your ministry before your marriage. Why? It will cause a divided heart. It will cause a division. You see, and they say, oh, well, you know, well, you look at the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that the Lord gave Adam a ministry before he gave him a wife. And that's not true at all. You have to read your Bible properly. If you're going to rightly divide the word of God, at least learn what it says. The Bible says that God prophesied amazing things over Adam. He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, take dominion over it, subdue it. And then he gave him a shovel. What you going to do with a shovel except dig the ground? Why? What's he waiting for? His wife. Amen. The shovel wasn't the ministry, dominion, power. And the subjugation of all things under the feet of Adam was the ministry God gave him. And until the other half of the ministry arrived, he gave him a shovel. Keep him occupied. Amen. Amen. So we got to understand. You see, this is how a misunderstanding of the word of God can cause a divided heart. God first. Say God first.
God first.
Spouse second. Children third. Let me tell you, this is a very important one as well. If you put your children before your marriage,
yes.
Hey, mommy, trouble, double trouble. Why? The devil will work on your children. He'll put a rebellious spirit in one of your children so your wife will side with, oh, well, I sympathize with him. Oh, I sympathize with her. Instead of katusha, kataya, kaya, ba, 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 ba. Hallelujah. Those of you that have been there, you know what I'm talking about. You 9 o'clockers have got a reputation of being a bit louder than the 11 o'clock. It's true. So you got to put your marriage before your children. Okay. Next one, children before your ministry. You must put your children before your ministry. Because otherwise, the devil will work on your children to destroy the testimony of your ministry. God, I wish, oh dear Jesus, I wish when I was starting out in ministry, I wish I'd heard this. You know, they say wisdom, you know, one of my definition of wisdom is the ability to learn from other people's mistakes. And this, thank God for wisdom. This I have learned over the last 25 years watching other people's ministries and thinking, you know what, that sounds right. That doesn't sound right. You know, wisdom, you're my sister. How many of you, if you've got a sister, you know your sister? That's why the Bible says, call wisdom your sister. Because you've got to get to know her voice. You've got to get to know her ways. You've got to get to just the way you just know a close relative. Hallelujah to Jesus. So anyway, next one. Ministry before your work. Ministry before your work. Why? One scripture. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus said this. Seek. What does that word seek mean? Prioritize. Say it out loud. To seek means to prioritize. Right. He said, prioritize first his kingdom and his righteousness. This to me is one of the most difficult things that you can come across, because you see, our success is often linked to our work. The way we can feel about ourselves. See, Mammon knows what he's doing. How many people wouldn't show up to work the next day if suddenly they had £1 million? Loads of people. I even said it to my boss once when I worked for the bank. I had this reputation of being a bit of a maverick. And one of them said it was when the National Lottery first came out. And there was a £17 million jackpot. I don't know if you remember that. But it was one of the highest jackpots they ever had at the outset of the National Lottery. And I had a boss colleague at work. His name was Paul Campbell, and he said to me, he said, "Well, Paul," he said, "it wasn't you who won that 17 million, was it?" I said, "No." I said, "Goodness me! The first thing I'd have done was that I would have wrapped your car around a tree, and then and smashed your laptop, and you wouldn't have seen my face here." He just looked at me as if to say, "God, you punk!" But you see, our success often is linked to us pushing in the area of career. Why? Why do we devote so much attention to our career? It's so that we can have the Merc instead of the Mini. It's so that we can have the Rolex instead of the Timex. You know, and all those things are fine. It's so that you can have the mansion instead of the trailer. Do you know what I mean? You've all got to start somewhere, right? But this is the thing. That Jesus, our boss, our Lord, our Savior, our King, and our God, he said this: prioritize first his kingdom. Amen. You know, they talk about in work about building your own kingdom, building your own empire. And Jesus says this. He says, put my empire first. To me, that was one of the hardest things to do. Just talking honest, just being really honest. Because there's a certain thing that happens the higher you rise in your career as well. It's a thing called pressure. Pressure. It's a huge issue. It can cause a divided heart. You see why God puts there? He says, unite my heart to fear your name. Help me in this prioritization. Help me get singleness of purpose in my mind, singleness of purpose. I want to be singular in my purpose. I don't want to have to divide my purpose. I don't want to have to divide my attention. I want you to be first in my life, Lord God. You know, the busier you get, one of the keys God gave me once was... He called it like a tongues covenant, that the moment I wake up, the first thing I do is pray in tongues. The moment I woke up, literally, you just open your eyes, you come out of that dream zone, and the first thing you're doing is praying in the spirit. What am I doing? I'm prioritizing. I am seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And it's easy. You know, tongues is free. You can pray in tongues in the shower. Praise God. You know, it's amazing what you can do in that realm of the spirit just by getting that few minutes to unite your heart. Father, you first. I love you. I praise you. I bless your holy name. I thank you for today, Lord God. And you know what? What happens is as you're coming out of your sleep more and more, you actually wake up praying in the spirit, which is just a wonderful thing. Isn't that just easy? So, God, I wish 25 years. You're here in 25 years of hard road so that you can have the highway of holiness in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, really quickly, James. Turn to the book of James, or Jacob as it is in the... Some of you got Hebrew Bibles. After Hebrews, it's James or Jacob. Great. Let's have a look at verse number 5 of chapter 1. James 1, verse number 5. He says there, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Now, I know my wife touched on that scripture, that last one. Go back the first, that's it. Last night in the Healed for Life refresher, it was something I actually, because when God started speaking to me about this, I texted her and asked her if there was anything in one of her books about this whole thing of a divided heart. Because, you know, there's wholeness of heart in terms of healing, but there's wholeness of heart in terms of purpose as well. And we must have a singularity of purpose. I am going to make heaven. The primary purpose of my life is to get to heaven and to take as many people with me as possible. Anything besides that is secondary. The second thing is to utilize and use to my advantage and to the advantage of those around me everything that Jesus won on the cross. So salvation, healing, prosperity, ambassadorship, everything in those four boxes that I can push into people's lives and activate them, so be it. That is my ministry. That is my call. That is my unity of purpose. Anything else is secondary. Hallelujah. And I've noticed, actually, I was saying to them, you know, because at the furnace we're men, we can get real, etc. But I was saying to them, you know, when I used to be out there chasing girls, they used to be running away. But the moment I started chasing God, I couldn't get rid of them. Do you see what I mean? And what is it? It's like an opposite magnetism. That the things you go after in life. I know people who have gone after money and ended up coming a cropper as a result. Pierced through, the Bible says, with many sorrows. But the moment you start chasing God, all that kind of stuff follows. And that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6:33, is that when you get your priorities right, when you become singular in purpose, all that other stuff automatically follows you. Because the realm of the spirit is like a vacuum. Singleness of purpose, unite my heart to serve you. Praise the living Jesus. Now, that word double-minded, right? You see, it's one thing to be in two minds about something. That's not what he's talking about there. Paul the Apostle, in the book of Philippians, he said, you know what? He said, I don't know whether to die now or to stay in jail. He said, for me, to live is Christ. In other words, Christ can move through me. That anointing that's on my life can touch lives while I'm in this physical body, right? He said, to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, so I'm kind of wondering which is better. And he said, well, I think, you know what, for your sakes, I think I'll stick around a while, write some more letters. And they became what we carry as nearly two-thirds of the New Testament written by Paul the Apostle. Praise Jesus. So that's not the kind of, that's not double-minded. That's being in two minds about things. This is being a man with two souls. One minute he's this, another minute he's that. And it's like, dude, like, am I looking at somebody, what do they call it? Multiple personality disorder is a common thing in the realm of the spirit. What's the cure? Unite my heart to fear your name. Lord, I want to fear you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to serve you. I know there's certain things that I have to lay down. I know there's certain lifestyle issues, lifestyle choices that I've got to make. But Father, by your awesome hand upon my life, by your uncommon favor, by your great mercy, by your long suffering, Lord, I'll cling to your altar and I will get there. I will make it in the mighty name of Jesus. What's that? That's unity of purpose. May you have unity of purpose in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He says in verse 7, let not that man expect anything from God. Why, it's ridiculous to think so. Why, you're Daisukos, you're the man with two souls. What on earth are you going to do? What on earth are you going to achieve? Being two-souled, nothing. You do two things badly as opposed to getting one thing right. One thing that I have asked of the Lord. One thing that I have required, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may contemplate on his goodness, that I may seek his face and be at his altar. There's something about it that causes everything else around you to come and magnetize towards you. I'm a living witness. I'm a living proof in Jesus' mighty name. May that be your portion too in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. You know, I think I've got this word into you, you know. You 9 o'clockers have got some unusual way of just zapping it in, you know. Praise God. Would you like to stand to your feet right now? We're just going to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for singleness of purpose. I thank you for united hearts, not a divided heart, not walking two ways, like walking with when you've ever put your shoes on the wrong way round, and you put the left shoe in the right foot and the right shoe in the left foot, and you can't get far. You don't know something's wrong, but you just can't get far. Father, may that not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. May we have unity of purpose. Unite our hearts to fear your name, O God. Thank you, Lord. Let us be of one heart, one mind, one soul with you, Heavenly Father. Help us, Holy Spirit, to get our priorities right. You first. You first. Spousal things, second. Children things, third. Ministry things, fourth. Work things, fifth. Recreation things, sixth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.